as long as you have, you know, a business, a wholesale business that is very tight. And what I mean by that is, you know, no mucking around for payments. You know, you want to give machinery out, just make sure you're pricing it properly. Because at the moment, wholesale is just, you know, race to the bottom. Like, seriously.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Mapper Forward's workshop, It's Time to Become a Coffee Consultant. Learn how to diversify your revenue streams and create freedom from your day job while saying goodbye to that alarm clock forever by becoming a consultant within the coffee industry or directly to consumers who have shifted towards home brewing and home roasting. Protect your income from challenging times in the coffee value chain by taking this course today. Go to mapperforward.coffee/workshops or click the link in the show notes for details. Welcome to the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward, friends. I'm your host, Lee Safar, and this is episode 3 of a 5-part series with Noir Adra from Stitch Coffee in Sydney, Australia. We are talking about the Australian coffee scene right now. And today in this episode, we're going to talk about the coffee roaster. We've talked a lot about cafes. We've talked a lot about the coffee consumer. And I want to talk, Noir, about what it's like to be a roaster that's doing B2B as well as perhaps B2C right now. You really did set the tone for B2C in Australia with Stitch Coffee. What does it look like? Let's start at B2C. As a coffee roaster, what's that like at the moment?
That's from B2C or?
But let's do B2C first and then we'll do B2B.
B2C, the coffee roaster, there's a bit of a nice little, you know, light by the end of the tunnel a little bit. Especially if you've done really a good job in your digital marketing throughout COVID, after COVID, and you had a, you know, very well functional website. You've done a great investment in your
SEO.
Online and your SEOs and your online, and you build a really good rapport and you have a very, you know, solid subscription base. You were able to earn people trust. So any product you put out there, people gotta be like, yep, I trust this brand. I want to try it. I think from this perspective, from B2C to go wholesale straight to the consumer, obviously, there's a very good outcome if you did what I've mentioned before.
That's okay? What I wanted to ask. If you have already done that, you're just going to reap the rewards of the investment this many years
later. It's going to, you know, yeah, because people are, you know, consuming at home now. Yeah, they're converting, you know, they're looking for wholesale to buy straight, you know. Sometimes they go to a cafe, they have a very good experience, and they go online of like, subscribe to Stitch Coffee because they tried Hobnob or somewhere at a cafe, right? So it's kind of, you know, kind of working. And some people, no, I don't want to buy from them directly. I want to keep supporting the coffee shop that I go to, and I'm going to buy my bag of coffee through that. So from a C market audience, you're kind of, you've done all these investment correctly. You're only going to continue. You can either keep what you're doing or you can grow at a, you know, certain percentage a year, how good you are and how much different, you know, areas of their life you're kind of touching. Do you have like really good pod, or you have this, or you have stuff that is not just for them, for their family members. If it's not for you as a gift for your mom, if it's not for your mom. Do you know what I mean? Like, you need, your website needs to have different reasons for them to visit. If it's just been in a bag, you're quite limited in your offering. You know, you're not really giving them that wide range of one for me, one for my grandma who has, you know, a pod machine. One for me, I know somebody flying. Let me get them a steep bag. Or, hey, I'm going to, you know, a hotel. I know there's nothing going on over there. I'm going to buy a drip bag. You know, so once you start having those multiple layer of product that talk to different segments or different life adventures, I guess, or, you know, lifestyle, then you are in a, you know, very good, safe environment. And, you know, you're going to continue doing what you're doing and people are going to trust you and they're going to talk about you. However, if you invest none of that and you just focus on your B2B transaction, which is the kind of, you know, sometimes it's a cheap way of doing it, but it could be very expensive if you don't know how to do it properly. The difference between them is, you know, if you just solely a contract roaster or just want to sell coffee to people, you have an acquisition cost in Australia to buy machinery. You know, if you don't have a very strong name, you end up buying a lot of machine just to big your name up. And then you're going to put yourself in a lot of risk because, you know, a lot of people don't pay on time. You're going to have a cash to cash problem. You're going to have a cash cycle situation. You know, you end up funding most of the coffee shop and then you have to just bag asking for people to pay you back, you know. You know, those are the kind of big challenges in the B2B. But I believe B2C is probably a better way to actually expand.
Mm-hmm.
And you can reach more people in that sense. As long as you have, you know, a business, a wholesale business that is very tight. And what I mean by that is, you know, no mucking around for payments. You know, you want to give machinery out, just make sure you're pricing it properly. Because at the moment, wholesale is just, you know, race to the bottom. Like, seriously.
We'll get to the B2B in a second. Because there's so fucking much I want to talk about there. This is the stuff that I do so much of my consulting work in. And there is the same mistakes keep getting made in so many at the market, in the market at the moment. But we'll come to that in a second. With regards to B2C, this is really fascinating right now because from all the consulting work that I'm doing, this is, as you said, the place for the most potential for growth. Right? The consumer is perfectly positioned right now to be looking to save money. The best way to do that is to go direct to the roaster. Here's the part that a lot of people get confused about. What's the investment, if you can speak at it in as wide a term as you want or a specific term as you want, with regards to advertising to convert a customer? A lot of people have this idea that I can spend $500 in advertising a month, or they say, I spent $500 on ads and I got nothing.
The this is a very tricky question, right?
Yeah.
Because you actually can spend $500, but like have an amazing target strategy and you like
good
nailed
luck with that.
It.
And, good luck.
And sometimes
that.
You might get your money back. Like
yeah,
you
no.
might.
Maybe.
You know? I could give you a good example. I'll give you a good example, right?
Go.
Give an example. So we are the, you know, and this is not an, it's a good example, but it's not something that's going to happen, you know,
all the time.
On a daily basis.
No,
right?
no.
So we are the distributor of origami in Australia, right? So mm-hmm. So I went and I did origamidripper.au as a wholesale and B2C website, right?
All right.
Now, everybody who want to buy an origami, they put Origami Dripper.
Okay.
Without spending a dollar on SEOs, without spending anything,
there's
without
nobody
even
else.
Advertising.
There's nobody without, else hijacking
nobody
their
else.
SEO. There's nothing else that's an Origami Dripper.
Exactly.
It's perfect.
So sometimes, so what I'm saying is, these are very rare cases that
right.
it could happen without spending a dollar. Okay.
Right.
But it's not going to happen every day. However, just to answer you, it's probably at least when we first started was our, you know, you had, our budget is $5,000 a month.
A month.
At least.
Did you hear that, folks? Like, a question I get a lot is how much should I be spending on advertising and what's my ROI? What's my return on investment on advertising? And I'm like, well, a $1,000 budget on advertising is not going to work. You need thousands of dollars in advertising a month. Investment to start to move the needle. Now, while when you were making that investment in the beginning, and I think in the beginning it was more than that, wasn't it?
I think sometimes you might do stupid mistakes and you probably press the wrong impression to click buy, okay. You know, so it could happen, you know.
We've all done it, bro.
but the Yeah, go for
it. But the ROI on something like that, like if I'm investing $5,000, it's not as simple as being able to say, well, I'm going to see $6,000 in sales from that.
No, I mean, all right, so this is the scenario. So during COVID, we went, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 5,000, right? And 5,000 went around for at least 2.5 years where we have to continuously evolving, you know, because spending a lot more money. Yes, actually, yes, you can. If you spend $1,000, you get $5,000 a month. If you spend a little bit more and you have more target, you could reach the $20,000 a month sales with
from $1,000.
No. From that. However, after 3.5 years, now 4 years in, now we only spend, you know, $1,000 to $1,200, but we are growing at a much faster rate without spending. So it's a long term.
It's a long game
strategy.
Yeah.
So you're not gonna see it. You're not gonna feel it. It's not gonna happen. You're not gonna make, even if you do 20,000, 5,000 plus, you know, cost of shipping and all the other stuff, you're not gonna make it. I think you have to have it for like a 5 years plan and just keep watching your data, keep watching your improvements. Where are you doing it wrong? Where are you doing it right? You know, all those kind of little bits and pieces. But I can tell you, you know, we started with, you know, a simple website. Then we moved to another website that we made some mistakes choosing the right platform. And that new website probably around, I don't know, costs maybe $65,000 to $75,000, and was the wrong platform. Trust me.
Sometimes
it was the right platform, but built on the wrong thing. You know, so now you have to spend another $10,000 to reshuffle it. So you learn.
There have been some numbers since you opened Stitch that have honestly made me want to gag. There are some numbers that you've shared with me that you've spent. You taught me about risk appetite. For real. If you were the person, and you and I have had this conversation, you're the person who has shown me what you have shared numbers with me. I'm like, what the fuck have you done? Why have you spent all this money on this thing? And you're like, wait, I promise this is going to pay off. And then 5 years later, you're like, see, it has.
It takes time. You have to really kind of wait. It's just the waiting. As long as you're spending it at the right place, you know, like.
But you've got to be earning it in order to be spending it. You're not like some of these people that we know that have like millions. It doesn't matter. It's, you know, we know people who have millions and millions and millions of dollars that they can spend and it doesn't matter if they lose it, right?
Yes.
That's not who you are. That's not who I am. Nah. Like any money that we're investing in our businesses, it comes from the money we've made from within our business.
Yeah, 100%. And it's just about sacrificing. You just have to, you know, when you are building a brand, it's different when you're running a simple business. Like when your brand is very, very expensive exercise. There's a lot of money that goes into stuff that you will never see it back for another, you know. Like we bought a drip bag machine. I mean, who needed a drip bag machine if you do 50 a month sometimes, you know?
But you're playing the long game, right?
Yeah, you play the long game. Then we're like, okay, let's just do it for other people. You know, that way we grow the market.
Different revenue stream.
People interested, different revenue stream. But not just that, get more base players, get more user base. So the more users they are out there, the more people going to know the product. They're going to purchase the product from us or from anyone else. It doesn't matter, you know. But you're building a demand for this particular product that is going to be a very specialty coffee driven, you know. It's not a pod, it's not this, it's not that, it's quality, right? So it's just the way you have to, you know, kind of take advantage of your, not take advantage, but that competitive advantage in your decision making and how do you come across it. And, you know, we're learning the amount of mistake that we did manufacturing for other people was crazy, you know. I bought the first machine, it didn't even have a proper oxygen nitrogen flushing, you know, so I had to buy another machine. But, you know, I didn't sell it to the people until I made sure that the second machine we're buying is, you know, giving the right nitrogen flushing system. then we're like, okay, at least we're confident now to give it to people. We didn't lie to people or do any of that. So a lot of lesson you're going to learn. But, you know, from if you're a coffee roaster, wholesale is a very, very tough market, very competitive. There's no new cafes anymore. It's very hard to find the new players in the market. And everybody is fighting for the same cake right now, you know, everybody, you know. And if you think the prices are going up, no. And that's kind of sad. So that's hence why I think the shift into B2C, consumers, really bring them in, give them this amazing experience. If you're a coffee roaster, you need to give them experience, not about just coffee. You have to give them the whole.
It's not a pretty bag either. That's like table stakes now, right? If you don't have a great bag, don't even think about it. That's just the beginning. Yeah. Like consumers expect that now. Can you, before you continue saying what you're going to say, just help people understand how the B2B market works in Australia, because it's unique. Here we don't have equipment as a part of, here being Dubai, we don't have equipment as a part of being B2B. So can you explain to people why Australia is so unique? America doesn't do that either.
I think what's unique in here on B2B is that you are a free consultant as a coffee roaster, right? So you consult in terms of human resource. You consult in terms of what, you know, milk I should be using. You consulted what I should do this or I should do that, or where can I find my barista? Can you find me a barista? Right. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, what do we, you know, we roast coffee. You know, that's one aspect of it. The other aspect is they call you anytime. They bring you to the cafe to ask you the most silly question that can simply jump on a freaking phone call as if your time is not important to anybody here. You know, and then you have to go and answer every, I'm like, it's not even my business.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's part of this. And then the last part would be the expectation you're going to give them the coffee machine, the grinder, like even if they do the minimal of decaf, they want an EK.
An EK you for know. Decaf?
Even if they barely sell, a batch brew, they want to have an EK on the like, I'm like, why? You don't even do this. But the thing is, it's not about why or convinced, because there is always someone else who's
that's prepared to do it. And this is what's broken about the whole approach, right?
The problem is, you can talk until the end of the world, but, you know, there's always someone else who's going to do it.
So in the Australian market, the uniqueness is you're going to commit to someone for 12 months. Are they committing to you still? Like, do they say, well,
nah,
do you,
they don't,
so they no. want equipment and they want like that. So the machine and the grinders, they'll use your, so they get that for free, right? As a part of, as long as you're their roaster.
Incorporated. Yeah.
It's incorporated into the cost. Do you reduce the price of the per kilo bag significantly if they don't get the equipment?
I think to answer this, not always significantly, because sometimes there's really not much difference between them. You know, you're just trying to get a number, really. You're not
right.
And there's a lot of secondhand machine right now because a lot of cafe shutting down.
So
secondhand machine is everywhere. So now you go to a roaster, like, wow, it got 6, 7, 8, 10, 20 machine. Not me. But, you know, others, I probably have like 2. But still, it's a lot. Like, you know, they'd be like, just plug it in. I mean, you know, what are you going to pay rent on the shelf? You know, just whatever it takes. So it's hard. It's quite hard. And you know what? The easiest thing you can do in your life is you can't get divorced. You can't change your girlfriend. You can't do a lot of things, right? But it's easy to change a coffee roaster, you know, and a milk supplier.
Is that how you guys think about it as roasters?
No, but think about it, right?
You can't get it's rid like, of your
wife. As a cafe owner, you can't get rid of all your problems in your life. But what is the easiest thing I could change? That 10 people every day knocking on my door saying, hey, got a coffee for you for like $10 cheaper. And he feel like, or she, or everybody feel very important at that matter. They're like, yep, let's do the change, you know. Some of them are nice enough to give you a call and say, look, what's going on? What can you do? We have this relationship. But still, you know, sometimes get to a point where it's a paradox.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel like a healthy paradox in this. And not that there are very many healthy paradoxes, but what I mean by healthy paradox is it doesn't seem to be a paradox that has many off-ramps at the moment because there are so many other things. Exactly. There are many other things back to back. It leads us to the topic of our next conversation, which is green coffee. So join us in the next episode, folks, because we want to have a conversation about really a part of the supply chain that all of us are experiencing a challenge in right now, whether you're in whether you're a coffee producer all the way up to whether you're a coffee consultant right now, green coffee is at the cornerstone of your headaches in none of the best ways possible. So join us for the next conversation. Peace, love, and peanut butter. Have an amazing rest of your day. I really hope you enjoyed this episode, friends. Please don't forget to show us some love by subscribing, liking, commenting, and most of all, sharing this podcast with your friends. Check the show notes for links, including our sponsors and our Patreon. And stay tuned for more great conversations on The Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward.